Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Our next guest covers the Chargers for The Athletic. I have a feeling that you're going to be reading and hearing a lot from Daniel Popper. If you're a Duck fan or interested in Justin Herbert's trajectory, he joins us now. Daniel, how are you, man?
I'm good, John. Thanks for having me on.
Saw your tweet today about HBO, Hard Knocks, Anthony Lynn, the Chargers. A little bit of magnifying glass, a little spotlight on the Chargers. How's that going over in Charger land?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I think it's a great idea. You know, they're trying to get a foothold in the city, and anything they can do to sort of raise their brand awareness is something they need to look into. Now, obviously, there are like certain stipulations that, you know, exempt teams from having to do Hard Knocks. The Chargers didn't have to do Hard Knocks because they made the playoffs 2 years ago, and if you've made the playoffs in either of the past two seasons, you don't have to, you know, accept an offer to do Hard Knocks. And Tom Telesco, the general manager himself, admitted today that, you know, he wasn't begging for it, is how he described it. But, you know, he understands the value in having some of his players in a public forum like that. You know, and Anthony Lynn said today, like, they do have a lot of characters on this roster, whether it's Melvin Ingram or Keenan Allen. They obviously have the intrigue of Justin Herbert and a rookie quarterback dealing with a very uncertain offseason. And so they understand that there's value there. You know, I don't want to say that they begrudgingly, you know, accepted and put themselves out there, because I think there was some interest there. But, you know, there is a trade-off. You know, it's obviously could potentially be a distraction, but at the same time, at this stage with the organization, you have to do everything you can to raise that brand awareness. And, you know, putting yourself on HBO with that kind of access obviously is very valuable.
Daniel Popper of The Athletic covers the Chargers. You wrote yesterday about Colin Kaepernick and the Chargers and why it doesn't make sense for the Chargers to be interested in signing Kaepernick. Why is that, in your opinion?
Well, the primary thing is that you have a player in Justin Herbert who is a rookie, is a quarterback, the most important position on the field, and has yet to take a snap. In a typical offseason, you know, a rookie quarterback, in this case Herbert, would have been on the field for rookie minicamp the first week of May. 2 weeks after that, he would have been on the field for OTAs for 3 weeks, and then he would have had, you know, rookie or team mini camp, veteran mini camp, which would have had been mandatory for every player on the roster. So he would have been, you know, he's learning the offense in these Zoom meetings, but, you know, a big part of development is applying that stuff on the field. He hasn't been able to do that yet. And that makes all these reps in training camp, whenever it happens, if it does happen, even more important than they would be in a normal season. Bringing in a fourth quarterback, whoever that is, even if it's Colin Kaepernick, there's no way around the fact that it's taking reps away from Justin Herbert, reps that he desperately needs in July and August if he's going to get on the field this season. And so that in itself makes it, you know, not make much sense for them to sign Colin Kaepernick, even though he fits the system, even though he does a lot of the things they're looking for, he would be a great fit. It just doesn't make sense in that regard. And then you keep going down the list, and I think I listed four different facts that make it, you know, not make much sense for the team. And another thing is they have Easton Stick behind Justin Herbert, a guy they drafted in the fifth round last year that they think has a lot of really good qualities as a quarterback, but he's very raw and needs to develop, and he needs those reps during training camp. You know, Tyrod Taylor was a backup last year. He wasn't getting first team reps. This will be his first time getting first team reps in the Chargers uniform. You know, if he's going to be the starter week one, which I expect, he needs those reps too. So it just doesn't make sense in that regard. You know, what Anthony Lynn was getting at was something that every team is sort of factoring into their approach right now. And that is during a pandemic, during this COVID pandemic, you know, you want as many contingency plans as possible, because there is a hypothetical scenario where on a Friday or a Saturday, your starting quarterback gets tested positive for COVID and can't play. and you need to go out and you need to bring in another quarterback to have on the roster for an emergency situation. And you can apply that logic to every position. So, you know, the quotes that didn't make it into all those stories on Bleacher Report and the vlogs and everything else is that Anthony Lynn was saying, we want as big of a pool as possible at every position, not just quarterback. And you have a player in Colin Kaepernick who hasn't taken a hit in 3 years, has played in a Super Bowl, has starting experience. And for any team not to at least kick the tires on a player like that, isn't they're doing their job as an organization. And that's really what he was getting at. But when you have a rookie quarterback that hasn't gotten on the field yet, you need every single one of those reps that he can get. And that's why primarily signing Colin Kaepernick doesn't make sense for the team right now.
It's one of my peeves about social media is that you have people, and often it'll be something that maybe comes out of the state of Oregon, even where the governor of the state of Oregon said, you know, hey, kind of pump the brakes on September in college football. And all of a sudden people start tweeting, the governor's saying no college football in the state of Oregon in September. Ohio State game is off. And I saw that immediately. And with the Kaepernick thing, I wondered when we saw those early tweets, how much of that was people just tweeting because, oh, it's Colin Kaepernick.
That's exactly what it was. And I mean, you've been in this business a lot longer than I have, so you've seen sort of the transition when the internet has come around and how big social media is. But it seems like to me, everyone who considers themselves an expert on a topic feels the need to weigh in immediately and without all the information. And, you know, I went to journalism school. That is most certainly not what you're taught as a journalist. You know, you should reserve any judgment until you have all the facts in front of you. You have every quote and all the context for those quotes. And that didn't happen yesterday. You know, the one he said that he was on the workout list and all of a sudden Bleacher Report has tweeted it out and everyone's tweeting it out and no one has the full context of the quote. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, the Chargers are a great fit. Well, you know, if you're around this team every single day and you know how the organization operates and you talk to people inside that building like I do, you know that this makes absolutely no sense on so many levels. And so I didn't think I was going to be writing about Colin Kaepernick yesterday. But ultimately, someone has to set the record straight and put all of the context out there so that these fans can actually be informed properly and not, you know, just getting the tidbits that, you know, all these supposed experts spew on Twitter all day.
Daniel Popper of The Athletic is our guest. You can follow him on Twitter, at Daniel R. Popper. Daniel, the conference call for the HBO Hard Knocks, you have Sean McVay on there for the Rams. You got Anthony Lynn of the Chargers on there. How much did the conversation or the questions stick to Hard Knocks and HBO, and how much did you guys start to veer off in different directions because there's so much to talk about?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it stayed pretty focused on Hard Knocks. I think that's what, you know, the people running the Zoom call wanted. And we spoke to Anthony Lynn yesterday as sort of a wrap-up on the off-season program, so we got all of our particular questions in, all those inside football questions about, you know, how did the offseason program go and where does the depth chart stand and all those kinds of things. You know, one interesting moment, though, Sean McVay, you know, sort of unprompted was like, you know, they want us to be socially distant, but we're playing football and it's impossible to be socially distant while you're playing football. And he's like, I don't understand how we're going to do that. And he sort of posed the question to Anthony Lynn, and Anthony Lynn kind of nervously laughed and was like, yeah, you're right about that. But didn't really, you know, expand on it. And I thought it was an interesting window into, you know, how much uncertainty there is, not just for fans, not just for the media, but for the people that are actually involved in the game. The head coaches still at this point have really no idea how this is going to work. And I feel like you can really apply that to any sport. And it's sort of a window into how much uncertainty there is in every single sport about, like, okay, how exactly is this going to work? How exactly are players going to stay socially distant in a game of football that, you know, relies on players touching each other? You know, you have to be physical in this game. There's contact, there's violence, and it's, you know, virtually impossible to remain socially distant while you play. And I'm not sure what the answers to those questions are. I think ultimately, you know, the leagues want these games to happen because they're interested in the bottom line above everything else. And ultimately, they're going to have to be willing to put their players at some sort of risk if they want these seasons to commence as they hope. And so that's sort of what my biggest takeaway from it is that there's still a tremendous amount of uncertainty for the people that are directly involved that are high up in these organizations about how exactly this is all going to work.
Same going on in college. I wrote about it today that, you know, there's a lot of wishing and hoping, but we just don't know what, you know, if the Pac-12 teams can test multiple times a week, that's great. But some of their opponents like Portland State, they're going to test when the players show up, and then they're not going to test again unless somebody shows symptoms. Like, how likely is it going to be that, like, a mid-major team or a non-Power 5 team has to cancel? I think it's going to happen if they play. And then, by the way, how many people are we going to have in these stadiums? Like, are they talking about stadium capacity at all in the NFL yet?
I did a Q&A with my subscribers today, and this is how I phrased it. You know, I would be absolutely floored if there are fans in the seats this season. There's just no way for these teams and the league to maintain the safety of, in terms of the social distance policy, and have thousands of people in a stadium. I mean, there's a reason that all these concerts and events have been canceled and postponed. You know, music festivals, Coachella, you know, already has been, this is obviously a big festival here in the LA area, has already been postponed until 2021. They're not even going to have their festival as they were going to plan to have it in October when they originally postponed it to. I can't imagine, and we can discuss this, I can't imagine a scenario where there are fans in the seats. I just don't see how it could happen. And the priority for the NFL, obviously, is having the season at all costs. And the reason that is because the vast majority of revenue for the NFL comes through these television contracts. So as long as they're having the games on TV, then they're satisfying this main revenue stream. They don't really make a ton of revenue relative to their entire pot from the gates at these games, from the ticket sales. You know, but that's different from league to league. And the reason you're seeing, you know, so much friction in the MLB negotiations with their players association, their players, is because MLB teams make a lot bigger share of their revenue from gate because they play 162 games over the course of the year. And so the MLB owners are looking at much bigger losses than, say, the NFL owners if they don't have fans in the seats. But, you know, like I said, I just can't see it. I don't understand how they can have fans in the seats. And ultimately, the goal is to get the games on television so that, you know, for the NFL, having fans in the seats isn't as much of a priority as it would be for, say, MLB.
Well put. We're talking to Daniel Popper of The Athletic. I encourage you to follow him on Twitter if you're a Chargers fan now or a Justin Herbert fan. Let's get back to Herbert a little bit, Daniel. Have you heard at all, have you talked to Anthony Lynn about sort of Herbert's progress or the plan for him when they can get to camp?
Well, the main thing that people in the building keep saying is, like, there was never a worry about Justin Herbert's ability to grasp things mentally. He's obviously an extremely smart kid, as all the people in Oregon know, between his GPA and even his football intelligence. So the question was never, could he grasp it sitting in a classroom on a whiteboard? The question has always been, can he take that intelligence and that knowledge and then apply it on the field and make decisions at the rate that you need to make decisions in the NFL? And like I was saying before, that's the key for Herbert, but they won't know that. They will have no idea, you know, how he's able to sort of process these things and implement them on the field until they obviously actually get on the field. So they're sort of reserving judgment until that point. And I think, you know, once they get on the field and can see him operate in a couple practices and see how he's actually applying the stuff on the field, then they can sort of, you know, make a legitimate plan about, okay, you know, here's where he's at now in late July, early August. And so we can maybe get him on the field for the second half of the season or maybe for the final four games of the year. But they, like I was saying before, there's so much uncertainty with these coaches. And it's not just, you know, how are these games going to be played? How are we going to stay socially distant while we're on the field? It's, you know, what are these young guys and what can they bring and what can these rookies provide and how fast can they play? And do they really understand the defense and offense to the point where they can implement it on the field? And so there's uncertainty all over the place, and that applies to Justin Herbert as well at this moment.
Now, Hard Knocks being part of the equation, you're going to have camera people. I'm sure they'll use robotic cameras more extensively than the past, but you still got people that are going to be around the production of this. Any added concern there from the Chargers camp on, you know, introducing, you know, more people to the bubble?
Well, that was another thing that I was sort of thinking about. You know, the coaches and the GM are never going to, like, admit that they're worried about something like this on a publicity call for the show. But, you know, any human being is going to sit there and be like, well, you know, there's no way around the fact that this is adding more risk. The more people you bring to a training camp practice and have on the field and have mingling with the players is more risk. And I think I saw a lot of that on Twitter, just people being like, how does this make any sense? You know, you're trying to do everything you can to keep the players as safe as possible, but you're bringing more people to training camp. And this is a little inside media, but, you know, another question I have is, like, you know, a lot of reporters in all sports are worried about access getting taken away at this point in time because of COVID and because of the pandemic and it never coming back. Because if you go through the history of media access, you know, once something gets taken away, it doesn't really get given back. And leagues will often take advantage of an opportunity to restrict media access. So if the Hard Knocks team is getting this access, does that also apply to local media? And it's sort of a point where, you know, reporters really have to stick up for themselves and say, listen, like, we need this access. And we know that if you take it away, we're probably not going to get it back. Like, we're not stupid. We understand how this works. And so that's going to be a little bit of a give and take between reporters and the teams. And in the context of Hard Knocks, it would look a little hypocritical if they're like, hey, yeah, Hard Knocks, come on in and get as much access as you want. But local reporters, no, you can't come because we're trying to be safe. You know, that wouldn't really make sense. That logic wouldn't line up. So I'm curious to see sort of how that plays out.
The NBA in Orlando has determined that they're likely going to make media members who go there to cover the teams cover the cost of regular testing. Now, that's going to knock out a whole bunch of the local media because a lot of those newspapers are just going to go, hey, it's not worth the cost. It's only 22 teams. It's a one-off. We'll cover it from a distance. But I think you're right. I think they're going to use the pandemic as a way to go, look, we never really wanted to give up access anyway. So let's use this to prohibit it, you know, eliminate some of the local media. Daniel Popper with us of The Athletic. Hey, I really appreciate you, man, and you're doing a great job. I got a chance to follow you more closely since Justin Herbert getting there, and I encourage people to check out Daniel Popper's work in The Athletic. Appreciate you joining us, Daniel.
Anytime, John. Thanks a lot.
All right. There's Daniel Popper of The Athletic. Look, Colin Kaepernick to the Chargers, cool thing to tweet is what he's saying. Doesn't make sense for the Chargers. I've got issues, too. I mean, I think we could stand on our front lawn all day long and say social media is evil. Social media is not good. Social media is it's the downfall of society, all this stuff. Ultimately, I think there's a lot of good that comes out of social media and a lot of connection that comes out of social media. But if we're really talking about people taking Anthony Lynn's comments about Colin Kaepernick out of context and going, oh, look, Anthony Lynn, African-American coach in the NFL. Oh, he's already got a quarterback, African-American quarterback in Tyrod Taylor. Oh, Anthony Lynn says he'll take Colin Kaepernick. His real comment, when you read about it, was about wanting to have as many people available to him as possible as an NFL coach who is facing a season and a pandemic. That's the story. It's not Colin Kaepernick to the Chargers because it doesn't really make sense with two young quarterbacks on the roster and a starter that Anthony Lynn very much wants to have confidence in. Now, Colin Kaepernick does make sense if he still wants to play and still can play for a lot of other NFL teams. There are about five or six teams that need a backup, and he would be perfect for them. But I also have an issue with people who, you know, you tweet out an article or a story or a column. They read the headline and respond. It's right to what Daniel Popper's talking about. Educate yourself. Figure out what you're talking about before you start talking about it. It's common sense. Leave it here. I know that you need this show. You need this show to be a diversion, to be interesting, to be entertaining, to be a ray of sunshine in your life. That's what we aim to do. We've talked about bad habits. We've settled a debate about horses as whether or not they're athletes. We talked to some experts on the show today. My wife will be joining us, speaking of experts, the host of that expert show. She'll be joining us later in the program, 2 o'clock hour. We call it the happy hour. And even though it's a Thursday, the weather is telling us it's Friday, isn't it? I mean, it's gorgeous outside. I'm looking at the next 7 or 10 days in the state of Oregon, and I'm like, yes, thank you. This is why we live here. Look around. Look how green and beautiful it is. And we got sunshine. And I hope that you get some of that vitamin D and make that happen. I want to thank Golden Oak Lending for taking care of the lending needs of so many people, so many of our listeners. Golden Oak Lending.com. That's the website you need to know about. You can go to goldenoaklending.com if you want to see their free mortgage checkup. Take that mortgage checkup. You get basically, you just let them show you whether or not you got a good deal on your current mortgage. You owe that to yourself and to your family. Golden Oak Lending can help you like they've helped so many people. Low interest rates right now. Bunch of people taking advantage. I saw a story today that home refinance applications were up 71% in the last couple months over the prior months. Well, Golden Oak Lending, they're the experts. Go with them. GoldenOakLending.com. All right. Coming up, the 2 o'clock hour, a.k.a. the happy hour. We're not bringing the alcohol. We're just bringing the sunshine and the smiles. So if you want to have a drink and toast to us, you can do that as well. You got the Bald Face Truth statewide on the Bald Face Truth Radio Network. I appreciate everybody who makes this radio show.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face Truth.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.